Well, good morning. Good morning. Starting a whole new series called Squeezed and the Pressures of Life and everything that you and I endure on a regular day. And so I just want to say hello to Charleston. Let's give up a big round of applause for everybody in Charleston and EIU in full swing. And they're having a great day today. And even over in the auditorium, just making some changes. It's going to be incredible worship, everything for them. We're so excited what's going on in Charleston. So, man, we're excited that you're just right down the road, and we're one church, two locations, and a lot of great things happening at the Fields Church. One of those things is at our Mattoon location, for our students, it's for Charleston, it's for Mattoon, it's for any area students, we have our service called Shift. And Shift is a once a month time where we bring in all the middle school students, all the high school students from all the areas. They're in small groups most of the weeks. And then once a month, we bring them all together, whether they're Charleston or Mattoon, under one roof. And we worship together. We have dynamic speakers that come in and just food and all that food. Kids like food. So we have to entice them with food and we bring them in. It's great, and it's a way that we can reach out to our neighbors and those middle school neighbors and high school neighbors. You know that about 80% of middle school and high school students are not engaged in any kind of church activity anywhere in our area, and so we want to be able to reach out to them. And so tonight is the night, 6 to 8 p.m. is a Shift, and it will happen out here at the Mattoon location. And if you're a middle schooler today, if you're a high schooler today, if you're a parent of a middle schooler today, then this would be something you want to encourage. If you're an aunt or an uncle of a middle schooler, if you're a neighbor of a middle schooler or high schooler, if you're the grandparent of a high schooler or middle schooler, you get what I'm saying is we need to let the middle school and high school students know that we have our monthly Shift service. And tonight is kind of that big back to school. They're going to do all kinds of fun stuff. And so make sure to get the word out and invite a friend. I can tell you from experience as a youth pastor that the best way to come to any kind of an event is with someone else, because it's just nice to sit next to someone, and you know, and it's nice to have a friend. And so I would encourage all our middle school and high school kids to get, you know, I say get on the phone. They don't talk on the phone anymore. Get on the phone and invite somebody and have them meet you and be a part of this. So it's going to be great. Let's dive into today's series, all brand new, called Squeezed. And Squeezed really is just that. We're squeezed. We're the pressure of life. What am I supposed to do with everything that I have going on in my life? And a lot of us can feel squeezed. The stress of parenting, the tension of finances at times, the busyness of our workload, what do we do with the bad news that shows up and we're just like, I can't take this anymore. I can't take any more on my plate right now. And we're going to discuss all of those topics a little bit more in detail over the next few weeks of what do we do even in those very specific times of managing, you know, time and the finance side and the parenting side and even dealing with bad news. And God has some great instruction for us in every single one of those areas. And today, this week specifically, I'm going to be teaching to a very niche group, just a couple of us in the room. It's those of us who are tired and busy and a little worn out, okay? Probably just a couple of you, right? Yeah? Yeah, no, I get it. It's like, that's the world we live in. I am one of you. I'm one of the fellow human beings that are living in the world of busyness and chaos, and it's really busy. So I come to you I don't speak this week out of perfection, that I've got it all figured out. I come to you with a very out of empathy that I totally understand the world we live in. I get it. I get the busyness. I get feeling tired. I understand that. Last week, just a little snapshot of last week, you know, in what we do at the Fields Church, our office kind of ministry hours are Sunday all the way through Thursday, and then we try to get out of office Friday, Saturday, spend some time with family, and then roll back into Sunday. And so last Friday, I was getting ready for my parents' estate sale, and so it was 9 to about 3 o'clock, just, you know, sorting through things, getting things on wagons, getting things ready. And then 3:30, rushed home, took a quick shower, got into the van with the family. We drove down to St. Louis because Dakota's playing his first football game, and then the storms were rolling into St. Louis. And so then we sit in this van for about 2 hours and wait to see what they're going to do because of all the lightning. Then they call the game, and they say, we'll play it the next day. So we get just drive home. And so we've been in this van for 6 hours. And by then, I get home about 11 o'clock at night. And then at 4 a.m., my alarm goes off because I got to be at my parents' house at 5 a.m. because you rummage sale shoppers come way too early. Like, if we say the sale starts at 7, people are there at 5, and I don't know why. But anyway, so we're there at 5 and getting things set up and ready. And then 5 o'clock till about 2:30, you know, at the very end of the day, we're hauling stuff off. And then I rush to the football field again, and I coach from about 4:30 to about 7 p.m., and then at 7 p.m., the game's over, and then the grade higher than us asked if I would do the announcing. So then I'm up in the press box announcing, which is getting my Tony Romo on. I'm like, you know, announcing the football game, and then I go home, like, at 9 p.m., and I haven't seen some of my family since 5 a.m., and it was like, and I don't say that for any sympathy. I say that to say I have a feeling that you guys run like that a lot, and that it's just go, 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 go. And it's go a little more, and if we can pack a little bit more in, we'll pack a little bit more in. And we're wired that way. And I just say that we need help in this, and we just need help in just living life this way, because chances are the pace may not stop, but the perspective of life in the middle of the pace needs to change. In fact, I even had that God moment, like that, not God moment of aha, but more of a, are you really, really God? Like, I'm going to speak on this topic right now. Like, I'm supposed to tell people how to feel good after, you know, and not be tired and weary. And so the Lord and I have been doing a little conversation lately, and I realize I need help, and I realize you need help, and I realize we need help. And so if we need help, then I get it. And sometimes you probably just wake up and you go to work, and like tomorrow morning you wake up and this is maybe what you look like when you go to work. You're like, ah, you know, it's like, this is like really like, and that is symbolic of the United States of America for our families. You know, that's us, you know, and some of us don't have hair and can't do that. But I mean, if I could do that with my hair, that would be awesome. But anyway, seriously though, you feel squeezed and you feel wrung out and overwhelmed is probably a word, and busy. Maybe you just feel like you're the constant taxi service or laundry service and there's no rest. And thankfully, Jesus teaches on this. Like, Jesus says, I want to help you in the middle of that season. I want to help you when you're feeling that way. I want to help you understand how to process life when everybody is pulling at you and needing something. And so today's teaching is actually fairly simple. Like, I'm just going to teach you a couple things that Jesus talks to a crowd about. And it's just a very ordinary crowd. And we find this in the book of Matthew chapter 11. Now, Matthew is one of the gospel writers. He's one of the disciples. So if in your Bibles, it's toward the end of the Bible. You're going to see the New Testament. And then you're going to see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew writes about the life of Jesus. And so that's broke up into chapters. And so you're following through these different chapters of the life of Jesus, and you get yourself to chapter 11, and in chapter 11, you see that Jesus has sent out the disciples to go town to town and village to village, and they're preaching and teaching, and Jesus stays in Galilee. So when we pick up in chapter 11, he's in Galilee, he's been talking to some crowds, he's been talking some followers of John the Baptist, explaining what life needs to be like for them. He talks to some of the chief priests. He makes this announcement of there's still unrepentant people in the crowd, and so he's dealing with sin and addictions and issues like that. And then he starts to pray for them, and then he actually begins to thank God that not just the religious elite get to understand what salvation is, but he literally says, I just thank you that everybody gets to this is revealed for the common person. And so now Jesus is talking to the crowd like you and I. It was like it's a crowd that would be very made up of the just like you and me kind of crowd, just normal, ordinary people in the crowd. And Jesus talks to them for a little bit and says, the gospel is simple. You can understand it. And then he says this. He looks at him and he says this. In fact, we'll just read it today. He says, Jesus looks at them and he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And so he's talking to this crowd that's just living life, and he's taught them some spiritual things of repentance and all this, and the simpleness of salvation, and that we can all understand this and grasp this, and we can apply this to our lives. But then he just gets down to really just the basics and says, I think you guys are tired and wrung out, and the way that you're going to find peace in your soul and rest in your soul is through me. And so today, this short yet powerful message is for people just like us. It's for me, it's for you, it's for all of us today. And so if I could give you, like, you know, how do we unpack this a little bit, I would just say, let's call it some tips for the tired. Like, here's some tips for those who are feeling tired. And it's just very simple, and it's coming right out of this verse. It's coming right out of what Jesus is telling this ordinary crowd. Is here's what we can do when we're feeling squeezed and tired and weary and wrung out. So number one, he says this is what I would say, his first step is we just need to go to Jesus. You're like, oh, that sounds simple. You're right. It needs to start there. It's like we go to him for the solutions. We don't go elsewhere. And Jesus, his wording is this. He says, come to me. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. And that's what he's saying is, hey, you come my way. Because when you come to me, you're going to regain this sense of peace and rest. And he is the Prince of Peace. And God doesn't want stress in our lives. He doesn't want us to live a life that is just full of pain and stress. In fact, when he created the world, we have, you know, God creates the world. It's beautiful. It's perfect. Adam and Eve get created. They're put into the Garden of Eden. It's absolute peace and protection and perfection. And there was marriage perfection. Amen. You know, there's a marriage perfection in that. There's even work perfection where, I mean, they were in the garden, but it wasn't stressful and it wasn't hard and it wasn't, you know, full of all this labor. And then what happened was there's this rebellion and sin, and Adam and Eve decide to do things that God says not to do. And you can read Genesis chapter 3, that the fall away of man from God, and all of a sudden they're sinning and rebelling, and now there's this separation, and all of a sudden when they decided to do things their way instead of God's way, it all changed. It all changed when God said, okay, if you think you can do it your way, I told you not to do this, but you're going to do it your way. So now there's separation between us. And it says this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. The ground, this is what he's telling them. Now that you've made the decision to live life your way and not my way, the ground is cursed because of you. All of your life will be a struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you. I mean, you've got a little bit of thorn and thistle in your life. You're like, why is this hard? Why is my life got this drama? Why is this hard to figure out? Why is this creating so much pressure? He's like, well, you know, your life is going to struggle. There's going to be thorns and thistles, though you will eat from its grains. It goes on to say this, by the sweat of your brow, I will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. Like, you're going to make it. It's going to be hard. And then you're going to go back. You're going to live, and it's going to be difficult, and then you're going to die. He's like, this is what it's going to be like. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Goes on a couple verses later. So the Lord banished them from the Garden of Eden, from the perfection. And he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he'd been made. But see, what I would need us to understand is the beginning was perfection. The beginning was no stress. The beginning was peace. The beginning was rest. And we brought it on ourselves. Adam and Eve did, and so do we still. So we can't blame everything on Adam and Eve. It's just we still do this to ourselves. And for the rest of the entire story, from Genesis to Revelations, you get humanity trying to figure out how to live life in a way that's better, because they're separated from God, and now it's this journey to get reunited with God and find hope and help and a solution. And so you find Jesus talking to this ordinary crowd, and he says, come to me. Come to me if you're tired. Come to me if you need rest. Let's break that down. The first thing he said is just to come. See, that's an invitation. Jesus doesn't drive anyone away. He calls everyone to himself. We need to understand that. He is saying, come to me. He's not saying, go to Moses, go to the chief priest, go to church. He's not saying, go, go, go. He's saying, come. Come to me. Come to me. It's not come to this doctrine, come to these ordinances of the church. He's not saying that, you know, come to this special ministry. He's like, come to a personal Savior, hope and peace. And he's inviting them in. It's very personal. It's an invitation, not an instruction. We need to get that. A lot of times, somebody help me. Just tell me what to do. I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to do this. I just need some instructions on how to fix this. Jesus isn't giving them instructions. He's giving them an invitation. Today, you're not getting instructions. You're getting an invitation. And he says, just come. Just come. And then he says, he uses the word weary and carry heavy burdens. This is those who are just tired. The original language here would really suggest those who have got heavy work responsibilities, laboring with heavy work. He said, those who are carrying the responsibilities of the world, worrisome, heavy thoughts, emotional pain. Do you ever feel like you just carry the weight of the world on your shoulders? That's what he's talking about. Sometimes you wake up and you got to go to work and you're like, I got to deal with this today, or the kid's situation or the marriage situation, or you get the bills in the mail and you're like, I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders and I'm stressed out. You're stressed out because of the to-do lists. You're stressed out because maybe you've got some sleepless nights because of all the pressure. Can I get it done? Do I have enough time? Do I have enough resources? Do I really need to do this? What should I do first? Is anybody going to help me? Does anybody even care? Those are the thoughts that we have a lot of. And that's why Jesus says, it's for you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. And the crowd's like, yes, that's us. That's me. That's me. And today I say, yes, that's us. That's me. And then he uses the word rest. He says, I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. That's what we need to understand, is Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you rest. It's like, I am the solution to this. In fact, when we read Psalms chapter 62, it's like, God is the solution. Let's take a look at it. He says, let all that I am wait quietly before God. Like, just put this into perspective of you. It's like, you wrote this. All that I am, Travis, that I wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge and my rock where no enemy can reach me. In the midst of the pressure, when you're feeling squeezed in life, you got to realize he is the safe place. He is the refuge. He is the foundation that we can stand on. He is our rock. And we need to understand that. And that's why Jesus looks to the crowd and says, just come to me. I'll be that safe place. I'll be that place that you can do life and you'll be protected by the craziness and the chaos. And so he says, come to me, come to me. Can I just be, even before moving on, just a pastoral moment, is why he says, come to me, is a lot of times we try to go elsewhere. And let me be really honest. Sometimes we try to find help by coping with other mechanisms. And there's usually very unhealthy coping mechanisms that we turn to, whether that's, and usually that it leads to more pain than help. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, addictions, vices that you turn to at night, whatever you're doing, it's just like, you just figure it out, like this makes a little bit of the craziness go away. And that's why Jesus says, come to me. Just come to me. You don't have to go to that. Come to me. And then he also says that we can receive help. Tip number one is go to Jesus. Tip number two is actually receive his help. Don't just come to church. That's not what I'm saying. It's just come and sit in the seats. I'm saying receive his help. Receive his help. This is what he says is that he says, take my yoke upon you. You're like, what's a yoke? That's that we're not talking about eggs. Okay, that's spelled a little different. What's that mean? Let me explain what this yoke is, because he's talking to a regular crowd that's got an agricultural background. They would have known exactly what he's talking about. This is what a picture of a yoke is. It's this contraption that literally connects the two animals together, whether it's horse or oxen or whatever. And when they're combined together, they're more powerful together than individually. It's the same model of our orange philosophy of our next gen is we can help, you know, invest in your kids, and you can invest in your kids at home. But when two come together, we're more powerful. And so that's why we partner together with home and family and church, and we come together. It's the same way. Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon me. When you come together with me, when we link arms together, then great things can happen. Interesting enough in this, Jesus actually uses similar wording that the rabbis would have used at the time, and that they had this saying to their disciples that said, take the yoke of the law on you. Take the yoke of the law. What they're saying is, if you're going to work through life, to yoke up with the law. In other words, the rules and the regulations, and that this is what you must do if you follow God. And so they're saying what's going to get you through life is to follow this list of rules that you have to be perfect in. And then what was happening is they weren't able to be perfect. So then they're even more disgruntled. They're even more, you know, they just feel like, I can't get it done. I can't do this. And so the rabbis are saying, yoke up with the law. And so when Jesus said this, it was actually a lot more radical than we know. When he says, hey, take up the yoke with me. I'll be that. I'll be the one that carries you through life. That's amazing. Like, that is revolutionary in that time frame for him to say, not the law, but me. I will give you the strength that you need to get. It's Jesus saying, grab my hand. It's Jesus saying, let's link up. It's him like, hey, we're all in this boat together, and I'm going to row the boat. Which reminds me, a couple years ago, we went camping up in Michigan, and we decided to go to the very top of the tip of the thumb, if you know of a Michigan person, it's the hand or whatever, Lake Huron, and we go, and we rent some kayaks. Here's our family. We rented kayaks, and we're going to go out kayaking out here, and Cooper at the time was 10 years old, and so they didn't want him being in a kayak by himself, and so everybody else had kayaks, individual single kayaks, and then Cooper and I did a double, and so it was the two of us, and as we got away from the little, like, the launch area, the waves were coming, and the wind was up, but we wanted to get way out to this one area where there's all these cool rock formations, so we were paddling, and the next thing you know, Cooper gets tired, and guess what Cooper quits doing? Cooper stops paddling. And so I am like, you know, the rest of the family's up here and here we are, you know, and we're just like slowly way behind them. And I am paddling and Cooper's like enjoying the ride and we're just trying to like do, and I kind of feel like that's Jesus. Like, Jesus, like, it's okay. Just let me in your boat. I'll paddle for you. Enjoy the ride. Like, take up the yoke. It's okay. I'll be the strength that you don't have. And that's what Jesus is saying to the crowd is, when you feel crazy and you feel like you're just tired and wearisome, he's saying, invite me into your life. I'll take up the slack. I'll be the extra. I'll paddle. I'll be the one that gets you from point A to point B. You don't have to do this alone. That's what we need to hear. You're not supposed to handle life alone. Your job, your relationships. Even serving on a dream team here at church, you're like, oh, this, I'm kind of busy, or your finances, or parenting, or this thing called adulting, being an adult. And we're like, it's hard. And Jesus is saying, it's because you're trying to paddle all by yourself. And that's why he looks to the crowd and he says, receive my help. Take my yoke. And then the third thing he says is that I want us to understand is we need to learn his way. He says all this in like two or three sentences to this crowd. He says, hey, invite me in. He says, let's link up together. And then he says, let me teach you. In fact, this is the way he says it. He goes, take the yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle heart. I love you. I care about you. I'm not going to be super demanding. I'm not going to scream at you. Just let me teach you life. Let me teach you. And when you take a look at Jesus's life, we're like, okay, then let Jesus teach us. And so I immediately started thinking of some of the stories of like Jesus in real life scenarios and how he handled it. There's a time that he was in a boat and he was really busy and he was doing all kinds of ministry. He gets in this boat. He'd been around thousands of people. They go out on the lake. There's this big storm that comes in. Waves are coming over the boat. His disciples are freaking out. They think that the boat's going to go down. And you know what Jesus is doing in the back of the boat? He's taking a nap. He's resting. He's resting because there's times that Jesus understands, even when the storms are brewing around him, I still have to find time to rest. Did you know I need a minimum of 6 to 7 hours of sleep a night just to be healthy and for our bodies to function the way we function? And so if you're surviving on 4 hours or 5 hours or 5.5 hours or and then if you're in middle school or high school or your kids, they need so much more. Maybe we need to go to bed a little earlier than usual. Maybe we need to value sleep, value rest. Can I say this? Downtime is not wasted time. Can I say this to those who feel overcommitted? Can I say this to myself? Can I say this to my wife who's laughing in the front row? That downtime is not wasted time. Some of us are wired that that's just a foreign concept. But we have to realize that some rest is critically important. And even when the storm was happening, we can learn from Jesus that he still found time to like, I've got to rest. Life is busy. When the crowds were in and everyone was demanding Jesus' time and his attention, and the crowds were, any village he went to, the crowds were coming in. You know what he did? He separated himself from the crowd to go find time to pray. So not only do we have to find time for rest, but then this prayer was what was fueling him and helping him. And there were people everywhere demanding something from him, and he still said, I've got to break away and pray. Maybe that's you and I getting up 15 minutes earlier and praying. Like, that's not 15 minutes earlier than hitting snooze twice. Because snooze is usually 8 to 9 minutes, so then you'll actually be 4 minutes late. So don't do that. So getting up 15 minutes earlier, taking a walk with God, turning the radio and everything off on your car and just having that 5 to 8, 10, 12, 15 minutes that you drive to work. Or finding that spot in your house that's your spot. When Joy grew up and her parents, they had this blue chair, and that was like Joy's dad's spot. We have a green chair. We just changed colors. We still have the same concept. We have a green chair that's in our living room, and it just happens to be the place like we kind of land early in the morning if we're gonna open up our Bibles, and I'm gonna fix a cup of coffee, and there's a little ledge there, and it's a little bit of a break. It's a little bit of that's the place early in the morning we can sit and think and pray. Because sometimes we just got to get away from the crowd. The other thing I realize is Jesus, when he was really tired and weary, that he fought through temptation. Or if you remember, he was tempted and he was taken away into the desert and he was going to fast for 40 days, no food, nothing. And so for 40 days, he's getting very tired. He's getting very weary. He's very hungry. And that's when Satan came in to really just hammer him with temptation. And that is the model. That's the MO of Satan. When you're tired and you're weary, Satan is always going to come at you. Because it's when we're at our weakest. What does Jesus do in the desert? He always goes right into God's word. Well, the word of God says this. The word of God says this. The word of God says this, which tells me even when we're weary and tired and the temptations come, learning from Jesus is saying, I've got to be able to read and know and even kick scripture back out to Satan when he's trying to tempt me. Read our Bibles. We need to fill our lives with it. You need to develop a routine. If that's new to you, you know, get on YouVersion, get a Bible reading plan, go buy a devotional, just do something like, I'm going to read my Bible 5 minutes a day, and I'm going to start in the New Testament at Matthew, and I'm just going to read 5 to 10 minutes a day. Have a routine to fill your life up with God's word, because when we're tired and weary, we're going to need it. And then the last thing I kind of think about with Jesus is like, he was always living on mission. I mean, we're talking he got crucified. We're talking he got arrested. We're talking his one of his best guys, you know, one of the 12 turned on him. In the middle of all that chaos, he still just lived on mission and knew this is why I'm alive. And when it comes to being tired and busy and stressed out, we have to identify our priorities. This is why I'm alive. This is the most important things in my life. And so if I'm going to move the needle in the right direction in the most important areas, I've got to control my calendar. I cannot allow my calendar to control me. I have to learn to say yes to the things that matter most and no to the things that don't matter as much. Because I need to know my mission. I need to know my purpose. We talk about that a lot. You've been created with purpose. The most important day that you were of your life was the day you were born. The second most important day of your life is the day you found out why you were born. And when you discover why you were born, which you can do in Growth Track and discover a little bit about yourself and how you can plug in and do what God is needing for us to do is his kingdom, then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, we're living with purpose and living on mission. And we see Jesus doing that. Ask yourself, what moves the needle in my life, and am I aligning my time with those priorities? That's the way of Jesus. When he says, let me teach you, it's just, we just got to look at his life. And he valued rest and prayer and God's word, and he understood his purpose. He was not lazy. Jesus was traveling all the time. Jesus had a lot to do. But he still found time to rest. And he still found time to have that peace. And that's why Jesus says, hey, just follow me. Let me teach you. Here's the outcome. In the midst of all this, and we're trying to apply these things, and Jesus is like, come to me and take on my yoke and let me teach you. The outcome is this. He says this. You will find rest for your souls. That's the outcome. For my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light, but you will find rest for your souls. And I guess I just have to ask, is that's probably what we need more than just tweaking my calendar or seven steps to organizing a better meeting so it doesn't waste time. I mean, those things can be important, but if we don't have rest in our souls, then it doesn't matter what kind of organizational book you read. We have to have Jesus the center of our life to find rest in our souls. Is today's message going to change the way you schedule or your workload? Maybe not. Are you going to wake up tomorrow and find out that your kids still produce dirty clothes for laundry? Probably. Are they still going to be hungry at the end of the message and you're like, oh, I still have to feed them? Yeah. Does your boss still want you to go to work tomorrow? I hope so. You hope so. Like you want that. You want a job. You need that. But if we can begin to appreciate and value the moments with Jesus, and he says, come to me. Come to me. He is so good. He wants what's best for you. It'll change your approach to life. It'll change your mindset that in the middle of a busy season, I still have to find time with Jesus because he is the source of true rest. It's a mindset change. It's perspective. It'll bring you a peace and a rest that you haven't experienced before. I'm not asking us to try to find ways to take 20-minute naps during your day. I'm not asking you to quit volunteering at this charity or whatever. I'm not asking you to quit folding clothes. That's probably not going to happen. I am asking you to give permission to Jesus to carry the stress load with you and say, can we link up? Can take his yoke and he'll lighten the load. That's his promise to us. That's what he said to the everyday crowd like us. Imagine if we all turned to Jesus in all of life situations, not just Sunday situations, all of life situations. Imagine if we turned to him and said, Lord, I need help. This is heavy. I'm stressed. I'm squeezed. I'm wrung out. Take on his yoke. Link up with him. Help. Allow him to pull the load for us. Let's learn from him. Let's learn the way he lived life and what he valued. And I just think of him just looking at that crowd and saying, come to me, come to me. And that's maybe where we have to start today, is just come to me, just come to me. Maybe you're in the room today and you don't have a real relationship. Maybe you're in Charleston today. Maybe you're watching this online today and you just don't have that real relationship with God. And you're hearing him say, come to me. And there's just something pounding in your chest. And it's the Holy Spirit saying, that's what's been missing. That's what's been missing is me just inviting God into my life. And just allow him to invite you today. Because he wants to do a work in your life. He wants to do a work in your life in Charleston. If everyone would stand up with me in all locations, let's stand up. Let's stand up and soak this in. That Jesus, just close your eyes for a moment and just hear him whisper into your life, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. All who are weary and heavy burden, I'm going to give you rest. I'll give you rest. God is good. He is good. He is good. At all locations, let's just take a moment. Let's pray. Let's just pray. Jesus, we invite you into our life to help carry the load that we have in front of us. Help us understand, Jesus, you can be the leader of our life, the Lord of our life. And we ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins and help us to live for you. Help us, God, to make you the number one priority. And we're so thankful, God, that you are good. And that you love us. And that you want the best for us. And Jesus, we're thankful for that. And we value that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let's stay focused on him. The band's going to lead us in this last song. And let's just appreciate just how good God is.